Well, welcome to the Widnes Rugby Chat Podcast, Season 2, Episode 2. I'm myself, James Gordon, and I'm joined again by Mike Parsons. Thanks, everyone, for your comments last week. We both appreciated them, and hopefully we'll get plenty more comments from this episode as well as we look to bring you all things Widnes Vikings and Rugby League and Widnes in general. In this episode, we're going to look back at the weekend's match as usual as Widnes push Wakefield very close at the DCBL Stadium. We've got an interview with
the man of the match performance from Jordan Johnson,
who was one of three Widnes players to sign a new deal last week. And then the main focus of this episode will be on the situation with the North Stand. So there's been a few changes this season to what's being opened in the North Stand. There was a new change on Sunday with the segregation of the crowd and quite a few from Wakefield. I've spoken to Holton Borough Council and done a bit of digging and got some information over the situation regarding the North Stand and the costs and the finances involved. So, and we've also got a few comments from fans who have replied to my tweets, I should say, over the weekend. So we'll give them a bit of a read and we'd like to hear your thoughts as well. So if you want to comment on this podcast, wherever you listen to our podcast, Spotify, or just drop me a tweet at JDG Sport, or of course you can get the get on the Widnes forum, widnesrugby.com/forums. So before we get into all that, Mike, we'll start with the game on Sunday against Wakefield. We talked about it in last week's episode and we felt that Widnes were underdogs. We felt like Widnes could give Wakefield a game. And I suppose the hope from many people, we hoped that it would be a competitive game and they wouldn't blow Wakefield wouldn't blow Widnes away like they have done with so many teams this season. And, well, we got a real game.
We did. It was absolutely fantastic. It was definitely everything that we kind of spoke about and certainly hoped for. The opening exchanges was very cagey. I thought Murray, Kirk and Johnson held everything that the Wakefield pack threw at them, certainly early doors. Started to get worried about with 10 minutes before half time. I thought we looked a bit gassed. The scramble in defence was fantastic, something we've been missing in recent seasons, and I think it was awesome, to be honest. And the mistakes, same mistakes Darryl Powell had say, blown chances. At the end of the day, if we're not chasing back and putting pressure on the support players, that ball doesn't go into the stand. They probably go under the sticks. And the same with the reach out try where the ball come out and come free. If there's nobody behind tackling last ditch defence, then that's again a try all day long. And they're probably out of sight, at half time, maybe by two scores.
Yeah, I mean, I was tweeting a couple of people at half time and I think I described Widnes as clinging on a bit at the end of that first half. And a few people took that in a negative sense. And I mean, you could say it's a negative way of looking at it. But I did think, you just said it there. I thought Widnes were clinging on a little bit towards the end of the first. I thought Widnes controlled the game in the first 20 minutes. I didn't think Wakefield had a sniff, really, in the first 20 minutes. It was only when they got the first penalty, really, that Wakefield even got into Widnes' half. And then they scored. You mentioned that try that Griffin bombed. I think the disallowed try and the sin bin probably helped Widnes, because I think it just disrupted that pattern of the game where there'd been a good 5-6 minutes where Wakefield had been camped on Widnes' line and not being able to get over. And then we went into the start of the second half. And I must admit, when Wakefield got to 20 points to 6 up, and I'm sure you're going to talk about them tries, you feared the worst. You were thinking,
absolutely,
you were almost thinking this is the same as what we've seen Wakefield do pretty much to everyone this season. Closest game in the first half, then they hit the straps before our time and then get going. And when it got to 26, I was thinking, oh, this could be a rout, this. And I thought that'd be really unfair on Widnes based on how they played in the first half.
I totally agree. I mean, I was sat there myself, and when it was at 26, when that look, I'd say lucky, you might have had a better view of it. It looked to me he was going to put a box kick up to the corner, and it's probably shanked off his foot and gone to Lachlan Walmsley, and he finishes them off all day, doesn't he? I was thinking, please no, because the build up to the game. I think the club marketed it as well as the best they could, got everybody involved, you know, the supporters turned out. We put a hell of an effort in for 30 minutes. And to be honest, in that 20 minute period after half time, I think we probably, now as the stings come out of the game, we probably just seen the quality of Wakefield. I thought Gale and Leno particularly controlled that part of the game fantastically. And I thought Atoni, he was a handful all day as well.
I was just going to mention him because I thought he was the difference. Genuinely, I think he was the difference. If you look at the period of the game he was on, he was the difference between the two teams. I did the report for League Express this week, and I give him Wakefield's man of the match.
Oh, well deserved.
Because I, when he was on the pitch, they were better. They were the better team. But when he wasn't on the pitch, Widnes were the better team.
Yeah.
Widnes just couldn't handle him as well. I wouldn't. That's perhaps a little unfair because they did handle him to a point, but he was doing things that nobody else was doing for Wakefield, and that's what was disrupting Widnes a bit.
He was, and a couple of people, I think Jordan Johnson in particular, come out the line to try and quiet him down, tried to belt him, but the reality was, even in them situations, he was still bouncing off, landing on his front, quick play the ball, and off they went, and that's when Gale and Leno really took a grip of the game, certainly in that 15 minute spell. And you were just thinking, wasn't you? Certainly we was, from where we were sat, have we got anything left? How much is that 8 minutes before half time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes after it, how much has that taken out the gas tank? That was certainly the concern.
Yeah, you know, and I must, it's not the first time Widnes have done it this season. A few people have commented on the fitness. They seem to be able to go the full distance in matches, and it's a great sort of trait for this Widnes team to have. They got the try back, Sam Wild's try, where he nearly had his head taken off, to be fair. I always wonder in them situations, I mean, you probably deserved a penalty for that, but I suppose they played the advantage. There was the one where Kieran Dixon, I mean, you were probably closer to it than I was obviously at the other end. There seemed to be an opening on that left-hand side, and it looked like a sure try, and then Dixon got held up right on the line, and that was possibly the key moment, because at that time, Widnes had really got a bit of momentum. There was still probably 7 or 8 minutes left after that, whereas as it was, by the time they did get that third try, it was right at the end.
Yeah, and that it's interesting, actually. That was right in front of us, and I think on another day, maybe an informed Kieran Dixon, where he's played more games this season consecutively, might have gone straight for the corner. But having said that, Wakefield, they scrambled over, and the gap was momentarily, really. It got shut down very quickly.
I can't remember whether it was the same chance, but I wondered whether I don't know whether Owens was there. I think Lloyd Roby was on that, but I partly wondered whether they were being better off running in the centre, would have been running in themselves. But I guess that's probably, maybe if Joe Edge was there, maybe that chance would have gone, you know, in a different way, which, you know, is the way it goes. And then by the time, there was a little bit of confusion, I think, after the kickoff, they weren't too sure how long was left. And that was a shame that they didn't at least get one Hail Mary tackle to have a go.
Absolutely. I think the fans had deserved it, even if it was a mad 60-90 seconds. I think the way the game ended, I think it was a bit of an anticlimax, and obviously I'm a bit biased there because I wanted a crack at it. You know, I'm sure everybody did in the stadium, unless you was in the dugout of Wakefield or, you know, in the northwest corner supporting Wakefield with a jersey on. But I do feel the game did deserve that last 60 seconds, 90 seconds to have a real go at it. But it wasn't to be, was it?
Alan Coleman was very frustrated because I think he'd looked up, someone in the stand, I'm not sure who it was telling him how long there was, and there was definitely some sort of miscommunication because they weren't expecting that tackle to be the last tackle, you know what I mean? I think it was a bit of a shock, which was a shame because, as you say, I mean, the chances are it wouldn't have happened, but at least you would have had a bit of a dig at it. So a good performance by Widnes on Sunday, and I mean, I said it on something else this week that we've seen all the teams now except Sheffield, who of course Widnes play this week. And without getting too carried away, for me, the baseline of expectation this season's got to be playoffs for Widnes. Yep. But you're now starting to get to a stage where, are there any other teams better than Widnes than Wakefield in the league now? I know they've lost to Toulouse and Featherstone, but you're now looking at Widnes thinking top four, top three, almost as a, not as a, that's what we should be doing, but you're now looking at that as almost like a realistic target.
Yep.
You know, I look at the games, you've played your hard, you've played your toughest, apart from Wakefield away, but they've played Featherstone away, played Toulouse away, you've played Bradford away.
Yep.
After this weekend, they'll have played Sheffield away, they've played York away. With all due respect to the other teams, they've played the toughest games, away games they've got. Toulouse, Featherstone, Bradford have all got come to Widnes.
Yeah.
So where Widnes are in the table, they've got points on the board. As I say, this might be we might be having a different conversation next week after the Sheffield game.
A couple of games, and that's all it takes.
But they're in a really good spot. But there's evidence to suggest in this first half of the season now that Widnes can do it.
Absolutely, confidence is high. I think that's quite clear to see. Nobody I've watched, the only game I've not managed to get to this year, if somebody who went out there might want to post in the comments about it, but was Toulouse. But from what I've seen, nobody scared me. But there's nobody I've watched this year. Featherstone beat us at their place. I didn't come away from that game thinking we can't beat these. It's as simple as that, and confidence is high. I think the biggest thing it's going to come down to is injuries. Can we keep that spine fit? Jack's probably been the fittest he's been in a while. You know, he's had unfortunate injuries, been playing great rugby. The halves are, you know, we went massive periods without Gilmore last year. Great partnership going with Lions. I think Allen's getting the best out of the two hookers. I think how Jordan Johnson's being utilised at loose forward when Fozard comes on is brilliant. And, you know, at the moment, we've got a strong forward pack. Now, we could play this game on Sunday and we come away with three injuries and then it's looking very different and you're having to rely on scratch around for dual reg loans. I think that's what it's going to come down to. Can we keep the nucleus of the squad fit and ticking? Hopefully.
Yeah. There was some news last week. Widnes boosted with three new deals for Jack Owens, Tom Gilmore and Jordan Johnson, of course, all three products of Widnes's academy. And after the game against Wakefield, I caught up with Jordan Johnson, who was my man of the match. I think he got the official sponsors man of the match as well, but he was certainly my man of the match.
Oh, definitely.
And yeah, here's what he had to say.
Hey, JJ. How gutted were you in the end to lose out in that match, but what an effort against top of the table Wakefield.
Yeah, it's obviously tough losing by 2 points towards the end, but I think sort of the character and resilience we've shown there, we've shown that in abundances throughout the season, and you know, we can take some real positives from the result. There's no denying that we are a bit disappointed because there was a chance there to potentially nick a game and win it, but it was a massive effort. You know, they're a full-time team. Not many teams will get that close to them this season, and you know, it was a great effort from the lads.
You seem to start really well. Like, it was a lively start to force to drop out in the first 2 minutes, and that really set you up for that first half. The first 20, you controlled the game, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, on the back of them being at Wembley week and, you know, doing what they've been doing, and we thought we need to get out the blocks fast and put them on the back foot, and I thought we'd done that really well, to be fair, and put a lot of pressure on them, forced them into some uncharacteristic mistakes as well, and, you know, we sort of built on that and carried on. But, you know, just after half-time, that was a bit of a tough spell for us where the game probably got away from us too much, and it was just too big of a scoreline to claw back against that sort of opposition.
The way you did fight back towards the end, though, and like you say, you felt like the game had maybe got away from you at 20 points to 6, but then the last 20 minutes you managed to dig in, get back in the game, and that was almost like a sign of what this Widnes team has been about this season?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes backs against the wall, they could have easily ran away with that and scored 40 points, and they will do against other teams, but you know, sort of that attitude we showed there to get back in the game, you know, it's a testament to ourselves and the group that we've got this year.
Talk about you signed a new deal this week. Was it an easy decision to make?
Yeah, it was an easy decision. There was we had quite a few conversations, me and Alan, and I made it quite clear that I didn't really want to be moving anywhere else. Took a bit of time to get done. Obviously, it's not that straightforward, but yeah, just really, really, really pleased to get it over the line now, and you know, we can look forward together as a club and carry on building on the start of the season we've had this year.
Do you feel like you've adjusted to it a bit more this season? I know last season when you made the drop back down from Super League, you probably didn't get to where you wanted to get to last season, but a lot better this year.
Yeah. Last year it was tough. The first 6 months was really difficult, you know, transitioning into full-time work and part-time rugby. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't tough. It was tough and, you know, I probably struggled a little bit. Went out on loan to Cass, sort of found my mojo again and, you know, come back here and I was determined to sort of have a real good crack at it again. And, you know, it's paying off now and I'm back to enjoying my rugby and playing with a smile on my face and, you know, playing some good stuff.
And obviously I know you got your young family now. Was it almost a bit of a, this is a bit of growing up now. I can't just be a full-time rugby player. I've got to get a job and do it on the side. Was there a bit of that to it as well? What's that like when, you know, as a player?
Definitely. Obviously living away from home as well. Witness is my home now. I moved here when I was young and, you know, living in Hull with no sort of support network around you. You know, it was a decision I had to make for not just for me, but for my family as well. And, you know, looking back at now, it's probably the best decision I've made, dropping down to part-time, you know, get myself a trade. You know, I'm nearly a qualified electrician now, so, you know, things are looking up for myself and, you know, especially for the club as well. The club looks like it's in a really sustainable position at the minute and, you know, everything's pointing in the right direction for us to go on and really have a good crack.
How are you finding your combination with Matty Fozard this season? Because that's probably been one of the highlights from a witness point of view.
Yeah, good. That was probably part of the last season that what was up. We both wanted to play long minutes. You know, I like playing long minutes. He likes playing long minutes. Obviously, he'd been here before and it just sort of wasn't working. And, you know, this year, Alan sort of found a role for us both where I'm starting the game and then pushing on up to the middle. And, you know, Matty's playing well off the bench as well. He's given us a little bit of spark and a bit of buzz when the game's going a bit dull. So, it's good. It's something that we can carry on building, though. Obviously, we're not young, but we're still in our 20s, like, so we can keep building.
You seem to set the tone with your defensive intensity, and I guess Matty Fozard perhaps is a bit quicker around the play the ball than you are, and that seems to be what's working. Your defensive, and I suppose, is that one of the reasons why Alan's almost a bit reluctant to take you off anymore?
No, yeah, definitely. I think it's the best way to go for us as a team, you know, getting us on the front foot, starting well defensively and then bringing Matty on to sort of just run a bit more, freeze him up a bit.
And looking ahead now to a tough game at Sheffield next week, I guess you're now going into every game with the confidence that you can turn teams over.
Definitely. I think we just worry about ourselves and we'll let everyone else worry about us now, you know. We've made a bit of a statement here again today, obviously pushing these really close, but within our fixtures as well previously, I think we've done really well. Look forward to it. And we'll go there with a spring in our step and hopefully turn them over.
Appreciate that, mate. It's all right, mate. Thanks for that.
So that was Jordan Johnston speaking after the game against Wakefield. Mike, any thoughts? Probably not about the game against Wakefield, but more about Jordan Johnston in general.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, fair play to him. I think since coming back from Castleford on that loan spell, I think he's been sensational this year. I think his defence pound for pound's up there with anybody's in the division. It'd be interesting to know, as a supporter, what that loan was about last year. Was it a case of just having to go somewhere to play and get away from the club a bit through confidence, or was it a player trying to get a Super League move? But whatever the situation is, he's come back certainly with the right attitude and he's ripped in. And I think Sunday was a massive example of what he brings to the team. Plenty of energy and then big tackles. You know, you talk about moments in a game. They're one of them moments where if a player drops the ball or just whacking somebody, it gets the North Stand lifting up and the momentum can change and it gets the crowd behind the team. So, no, fantastic. And probably the best rugby, in my opinion, I've seen Jordan play for the club, to be honest, at the minute.
Yeah, my little story with Jordan Johnston is the first time I interviewed Jordan was in 2015 when he signed for Widnes, because I'd just started doing a little bit of work at the club. And he was with the Cumbria. He was with the Cumbria Academy or whatever at that point, and had seen a tweet or something had gone out saying that he'd signed for Widnes or something was going on anyway. And it was like, well, if he's signing for Widnes, people are gonna get hold of this, so we need to announce it. And ended up, it was like a Friday night or something. Ended up giving him a ring and speaking to him. So it was like, I was always like, oh, this is the first signing that I've like officially announced when I was working at Widnes at that time. And I was like, you'll have to play for Great Britain now, because I can tell my kids then that the first interview he did was with me. Beats MIs, but he certainly he's had a decent career as a rugby league player. I've actually got one of his shirts from Magic Weekend. Is one of my collection of framed signed Widnes shirts, one of his Magic Weekend shirts. So yeah, he'll always stop for me, JJ. So we appreciate that. Right, we'll move on to this North Stand situation that's been, well, I don't want to make it sound negative because I don't think it's negative. It's been bubbling away this season. I think earlier in the season, I thought it was handled quite poorly, I must admit, by the powers that be, whether that's the club or the council, whoever's responsible for the decision-making. I thought it was handled poorly. I thought, I can understand shutting blocks of the stand to a point. I can understand that. But the whole moving it around and shaking it and moving to the corner and then moving back, I thought that was handled quite poorly. Ultimately, they shut the blocks initially, then a few people moaned, so they moved what blocks they were shutting, and then a lot more people moaned and they had to retreat back. They probably should have stuck to the guns in the first instance. Yeah. On Sunday, we had a third alternative. Well, I suppose you could call it four alternatives, because one option is the full stands open. The second option is just the middle blocks are open. The third option is just the northwest corner blocks are open. And the fourth option is the segregated part, where Wakefield, because they were bringing a few more, they had the northwest corner and the first three blocks, and then the Widnes were in the rest. Before I go into my main bits, how did you find that on Sunday?
I'll be honest, I was a bit sceptical going in, not overly, because I usually sit central in the north stand, because of how many people was attending the fixture. I couldn't quite sit where I usually would. But I have to be honest, I think from my point of view, certainly for that one-off game, maybe if Bradford come and he was on a good run of form, we might get a similar level. But other than that, we're not going to get an away following like that again this season. But I think for that fixture, it actually worked. And I think Daryl Powell even referred to it in his interview after the game, like the atmosphere in the North Stand. And it was great to see clubs like Widnes and Bradford prospering again in the Championship. And I think it really, really, it added to the atmosphere, and you know, everybody was well behaved from my knowledge as well, which was, to be honest, I think that was a few people's concerns before the game. And I think
I thought them worries were completely blown out of proportion. Plenty of matches. I remember that one match where there was a bit of trouble at Wakefield.
Yeah.
But I just thought the way people were going on, it was like you were playing Millwall or something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so I posed the question on Twitter on Sunday, I think, where I basically made the point, because the atmosphere, I was obviously sat on the other side, the atmosphere of that game was much better.
It was.
And it wasn't necessarily because the Wakefield fans added to the atmosphere, but I think they sort of spur the Widnes fans on, whereas normally the Widnes fans are sat over there, you know, a bit miserable, you know, if it's not going well. You don't really have any interaction with the away fans because they're in the south stand. So when you're in the north stand, you can't hear them. You know, if they've only brought 50, you don't really even notice that.
Absolutely.
When you're in the north stand. And so the atmosphere that Wakefield brought was good, but what they contributed to the Widnes making the atmosphere was much greater. And so my thoughts on it is there scope for that to be a permanent setup? Now, don't get me wrong, no one brings as many as Wakefield have, but do you just open that the first two blocks of that northwest corner for away fans for every game and forget the south stand? Because there's massive issues in the south stand because there's reserve seating. I know there's been people complaining about it. I think someone tweeted in last week and said, you know, at the start of the season, they'd have people sat in the seats. But then even if they weren't sat in their seats, their reserve seats was basically in the middle of where all the away fans were sitting, which isn't where they want to be. Whereas if they say, right, we're going to use blocks A and B in the north stand to put away fans in, no matter who we're playing, always have that little bit of segregation potentially, or you know, you could soft seg it for certain games, open up that third block, so effectively everything from the V Vikings is home fans. And even if you've got a team, you know, without disrespecting anyone, even if you've got a team who brings 50, you're still getting that little bit of niggle and that little bit of banter, if you like, or interaction that's then going to hopefully spur the Widnes fans in. That's, I'm almost, I mean, it's easy for me to say, but what do you think about that?
I'll be honest, James, before Sunday, I'd have probably said no. But honestly, I think it worked. And I definitely see where you're coming from. I think our biggest problem in terms of the atmosphere is the stadium's too big. And then when you follow that up with other championship clubs on the other side of the ground in a corner bringing 50 fans, you can't hear them. Or what you hear is a couple of seats getting banged and that's it. Whereas if you put them, like you say, next to who would be in the northwest corner, it spurred the atmosphere on. And I think there was a period in the game, especially, where I think it might have been when Walmsley just touched down and Wakefield fans were singing, "You're not singing anymore." And I think the whole of the North Stand pretty much stood up. And sang back. And it really helped the atmosphere. Yeah, I think it could be a potential goer, to be fair.
You've not, like, I can't remember a championship game where you've had that back in two at that ground for a very long time. Even accessing the ground where they are is a lot easier for away fans than, I mean, I don't really like that south, what is it, the south east corner of the ground. It's, you know, you're sort of like going back around through a tunnel sort of thing to get there. And, you know, and fans have got to go and buy the ticket, then they've got to go there. Whereas I know they had a little ticket window open in the North Stand. It's obviously segregated anyway. It's self-contained. You know, it might be worth looking at. So I posed the question anyway. So I'll read through some because they had some gate debates. One, Gavin, who's an Australian who's over here, he doesn't support Widnes, but he made the point, and I went back at him actually, because he said he thought it was good that instead of just dumping the away fans behind the posts, they'd put them in the side in a decent seat. But I prefer sitting behind the post for away games. I always thought that was like,
it's part of the experience,
yeah.
isn't it?
And I think you can enjoy the game more from behind because you can see. You can see the gaps in the line. You can see, there's a few issues with the depth of things. But I always felt like, I always love watching games from, like, you know, at the DW and stuff. I always love watching the games from behind the post because I feel like you can see where the gaps in the team are. You can see who's maybe falling off tackles and stuff.
It's certainly a different experience. And like you say there, you can see who's been stepped and where the gaps are appearing and stuff like that. The only thing that makes it a hard watch, obviously, viewing it from there is when the ball's right down the other end of the field. Sometimes I'm sat there and it's like, are we 10 yards out, 15 yards out, or 1 or 2 meters? But I totally agree. I think in terms of an away games, I'm in total agreement with that. I like the experience behind the sticks. It's a different watch.
The Tim said he thought it worked well, and he said, but this was the only game worth doing it for. The rest can easily fit in the South Stand. And I went back and said, well, it's not necessarily about the number. It's about it's what the number bring to the occasion. Yeah, you can fit 50 in the South Stand, but if putting 50 in the North Stand then springs the atmosphere up in the North Stand, then I think that's great.
I think as well, it solves that issue as well that I think we briefly touched on last week about people's seats being getting taken in the North South Stand, whereas obviously in the North Stand you just go in and sit where you want. But I'm in total agreement. It's not about the numbers, like you say. It's about the atmosphere and the bounce it brings.
A few more. Thought it was a disaster move, but turned out to be a masterstroke. Well segregated, and the atmosphere was electric. At the expense of those who sit in the northwest corner, it's sad, but I'd do it again, maybe a smaller section. Alfie says, I agree that away fans should come because it is beneficial to the club, but don't agree with segregation of the North Stand, especially when we've been consistently asking to sit in the North Stand corner, and to put away fans there is asking for trouble. Like I said, there's no... Mickey says we want our corner back. I'm going to be controversial and say, why can't they just migrate to the North East corner and make the North East corner the new North West corner? Because the northeast corner of the stand is actually better situated than the northwest corner because it's a bit further up the pitch. You'd probably be able to see more from that corner. And so, and it's easy for me to say because I don't sit in the northwest corner, so, but I'm a bit like, well, you've just got to bang on the wall with a different hand, you know, with your other hand if you sat in the northeast.
I think you'll be careful. I think we're stepping on a few politics there, but I totally agree. I do agree with you, to be fair. I sit central, so I suppose I'm not best to comment with that one because, you know, it doesn't affect where I'd sit. So
A few other comments, Scouse J and who else said, Ryan said, the aim really, and this is a fair point, the aim really should be to get the North Stand full of home fans again.
That's the long-term objective.
Which is fine. I mean, I'm not even 100% sure. What's the North Stand capacity? I'd imagine it's 4,500. So, you know, realistically, are Widnes going to get 4,000 at home in the Championship in one stand? You know, it'd be great if they could, but I think in the context of rugby league and you know, there was only 4,000 at the ground in total on Sunday, and that was with Wakefield bringing a few. I think in the context of where rugby league at the moment is, I think it's difficult. And I just think, have you got anything to lose by, if having 50 away fans is going to add to the atmosphere?
I think in terms of filling the North Stand this year, I think the damage was done with the season ticket sales at the beginning of the year. Maybe next year it could grow. Obviously, if we get to the playoffs and get a couple of big games at home, it might get.
I think the way that the team are playing will definitely help, and the way that they're being, you know, there's even in games that they lose, you can see that there's hope and there's progress, and you know, Alan Coleman's had an excellent start as coach. And like you say, if they can get the recruitment right, they can keep the bulk of this team together, all of a sudden, instead of going into the off-season full of negatives, you go into the off-season off a positive. You know, we finished in the playoffs, you know, we did this, we did that, we've kept the bulk of the team, we've signed one or two, and then you've got a bit of like, oh, well, we're looking forward to next season now.
Absolutely.
The only downside is this year we've got this whole IMG thing and no one going to know how people are going to react to that. So at some point in the off-season, October or whatever, they're basically going to announce, right, these 12 teams are in Super League. You don't know what sort of impact that has on fans. And I think it completely gets overlooked. There'll be people out there who just sit there and think, this is stupid. Like, what's the point of me buying a season ticket if they're just going to decide it this way?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, actually, because somebody who works with my dad, he brought him to the game. It's his second game now, and he just loves sport, and he cannot understand for the life of him why there's no promotion and relegation, and that is literally just one example that we know of.
Yeah, I remember when Catalan came in, and none of my mates really liked rugby, to be honest. They were all football people, and they were just like, why is there a French team in? You know, why? Or, and it was like when you're in the second division, it's, well, why when you win the league, you're not getting promoted, you've got to go in the playoffs, and you know, they just don't get it. I think for me, I mean, we'd probably do a separate episode on IMG, to be honest. But for me, my very short, we're going to move on to something else, so don't get me too going on this. But for me, the IMG thing, the grade A's, I'm happy with that. Grade A, securing Super League. I have absolutely no problem with that. But I just think everyone else who's a grade B, they should just continue the relegation up and down. So anyone who's grade B is in the same mixer, if you like. And so if Wakefield win the league and they're grade B, they go in for London and London get relegated, I'd just do it like that. At the moment, this whole, what's going to happen is Wakefield will probably go up. Toulouse will probably go up because they've got half a point more than Castleford.
Yeah.
And then they'll come down. And then there's no, but the problem is that no one's foreseen yet is that it's virtually impossible for the Championship teams to catch up. So
in that scenario, if a grade A finish bottom, would you not have promotion and relegation for that year, or would
go to the grade B team. So the lowest grade B team in Super League would get relegated, and the highest ranked, the team who won the Championship as long as they were grade B would get promoted. I just think that, for me, that's simple, because you're still promoting standards. You're still saying to the likes of Salford, Huddersfield, right, you've got a Castleford, you've got, if you want to be a grade A and you want to be a protected Super League club, you've got to get up to these standards.
Do you know what? That's not a bad idea. I think we're all in agreement.
And I'm telling you now, in 5 years, I hope people listen to me saying this, it is nearly impossible for no Championship team will be able to go up after next season. They just won't. No. Because the gap in points, even if you look at Widnes's points now, Widnes are almost at the ceiling. Yeah, they could get a few more from on-field performance, but everyone's going to be getting a bit more. Yeah. And ultimately, the Super League clubs have got far greater, all the stuff like finance, the turnover, not as reliant on as much of the central funding. You know, the numbers that they get from attendances, the numbers that they get from TV, the numbers that they get from social media are just naturally higher because they're in Super League.
Yeah.
And so, I just, for the life of me, I just cannot see why it's not being done the way, or at least a way similar to what I'm suggesting. Because at the moment, clubs like Widnes, it's impossible. It's going to be impossible for Widnes to get to Super League.
No, I totally agree. And I think that the prime example of all of this was the story of the season last year, where London started the season. So how they finished it, are you stopping that story?
Yeah, and it's even like now they, you know, like, and they've been given no chance this season. There's no point in them. They're going to get relegated anyway. Whereas at least if you did it the way I suggested, London could have had a crack at it this season.
Absolutely.
And stayed up. And then they stay up one season, and then they might be thinking, well, we want to work towards a grade A here. Absolutely. But because we're in Super League for a second season, we can put a bit more into it. Yeah. You know, it's like Widnes, they're not going to win the championship this season, but if by some sort of miracle Widnes could win the championship this season and had a season in Super League, there's no reason why Widnes then might consolidate themselves as a decent Super League club again.
Absolutely.
But the problem is they're now not being able to, they're now never going to be able to get into that situation where they have a bit of a lucky break and they go up.
Yeah,
and it, you know, it's frustrating.
Whatever we all think and stuff, at the end of the day, fans tune into sport for jeopardy.
Yeah,
and that's what people like. That's what makes people watch games. It's excitement and jeopardy.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll do another episode on IMG at some point. It might be interesting to speak to someone from the club actually about that, because I think I speak to a lot of people. Part of the problem is that you look at your score, and I did do an article on this on the website when the scores come out. You look at your score and you think, oh, well, we can add another half a point there, or a point here, or a point there. But every single club's doing exactly the same thing.
Of course they are.
So as much as you're saying, well, we think we can go up 3 points here, well, every other club's thinking they can go up 3 points.
Of course.
And so, you know, it just becomes a bit of a slog. So we'll do a full episode on IMG at some point. I just want to finish off by going through this North Stand situation. So, when it was all kicking off, basically, after the Barrow and Swinton games, I put a freedom of information request into the council, because the reason for the North Stand being reduced or for only four was effectively given as a financial reason, wasn't it? You know, there's not as many people in the stand, so it costs less to open it. Naturally. And so I was like, but in my thought process on this, how much less does it cost to open a stand? Because
what we're saving, essentially.
Yeah, because ultimately all them blocks are extra seats, and there's an extra entrance to get into them. So what do you need? A steward maybe at the top and bottom of each row of steps? Because the whole concourse is still the same, the exit point's still the same, the turnstile's still the same.
Yep.
So I asked the council, what is the cost saving from opening the full North Stand and opening just four blocks? I think, have I told you the figure?
No.
What would your guess be?
No idea. I wouldn't even know where to start, James, to be honest.
So the cost saving of opening four blocks compared to the whole North Stand is £737.80, right? So all that fuss about only opening them four blocks and the middle four blocks or the end four blocks is to save £737.80 per match, right? £737.80, Widnes charged £22 to get in. That is effectively 34 people.
Right.
Right? So, and I have no idea, if you've stopped going to games because they've done this, I can't imagine there's 34 people who've had.
I'd like to think not.
But yeah. But so you only need to alienate 34 people by doing that, and you've negated your cost saving. Now, what's perhaps a bit more controversial than that is that cost saving doesn't actually go to the club. That cost saving is for the council.
Yeah.
So that was another question I asked. I specifically asked the council, is the cost saving to the council, or is that passed on to Widnes Vikings?
Okay.
It's just the council saving money. Now, don't get me wrong, it's tough. Like, councils are on the backside. Completely appreciate the council saving money. But there's no actual benefit to Widnes for in shutting the four blocks, because it doesn't help Widnes financially. If anything, if one person doesn't go to the games because of that situation, it's, the club has lost 22 quid or whatever.
Yep.
The difference, I mean, I asked a few questions. I will put this in a blog post so people can see it. But basically, the difference in number of staff required to work the full stand compared to the four blocks is 10. So you need 10 extra staff to open the full stand. And the council have the final say on whether that happens. But they did say to me that the recent alterations were devised jointly by both council and the club. So I presume that was the whole moving around situation. Yeah. So that gives a little bit of clarity to people in terms of, well, why? You know, why instead of the North Stand has been open, the full North Stand has been open every year in full for however long. So there you go. It's to save £737.80 a match. Now, over 13 home games, that's £9,500. So, to be fair, I have no judgment from me for the council for wanting to save £9,500. If they see that as an opportunity to save £9,500, then I say fair play. I think the main challenge now is for Widnes and for Widnes fans to get it to a point where, well, they have no choice but to open the whole stand because they've sold too many tickets for it.
Absolutely, and you know, I think. Going back to the Wakefield game slightly, at 20-6, it was so important that game didn't blow out. Because I think people, if there are still people sat at home that they're not going for whatever reason, they fell out of love with the club, whatever that may be, the more results like that we get against not just the top team in the Championship, but, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, we've got more chance of filling the North Stand again, and that's going to be the objective. And realistically, like we touched on before, the only way of doing that is win and on-field performances.
I'm always a little bit, you know, when people say, oh, well, you need is a winning team to get fans in. I don't agree with that necessarily. I agree with the point you're making, but people always say, oh, all you need to do is build a winning team to get fans in. No, even if you get a winning team, you still don't necessarily get the fans in. You've still got to do certain things the right way. But I also think you can get fans in without winning. Widnes didn't win on Sunday. But I think because you can see progress being made, you can see that they coached well, you can see that they're putting effort in, even if they get beat, you know, that sport, you know, you can't win every week.
You go for a match experience as well.
And that's the thing now. You go into games and you're enjoying the matches. You know, like completely different comparison. But one of the lads who I play football with on a Monday night said he's really enjoying it now. We lose most games.
Yeah.
But he's enjoying it now because we compete every game.
Yeah.
Because like you say, that's sport.
Yeah.
The one thing that would develop Widnes' crowds this season is if there was promotion. And
at this point, absolutely.
Yeah, I 100% believe that if you... Because I've had people messaging me saying, well, can Widnes go up this year? What's crap? If Widnes could go up this year and there was a genuine chance of Super League, I think you'd be getting to this point now in the season where people would be turning out.
Yeah, 100%. I'd just like to correct myself before I didn't mean win.
No. I'm sorry. Like I've said, I wasn't saying about what you said. I'm more thinking about people in general who say, oh, all it takes to get fans in the ground is a winning team. But you're 100% right in what you're saying is this season, because they're winning games and they're doing well, it gets people out for it. But what I'm saying, it doesn't necessarily have to be the be-all and end-all to do that. But it's just as you kept saying about Jeopardy and stuff like that and sport, people want to see competition. They don't want to see one team blowing out another. They don't want to see, you know, you're not competing in games. Whereas now, every single game, there's not one game, Widnes haven't played one game this season that didn't compete in.
Absolutely.
And to be fair, the only team they've blown away really was Halifax.
Yeah.
And that was only in the second half. And it wasn't a blow away, boring blow away. Widnes were brilliant that day.
Yeah. It's putting two and two together, making five. But imagine if we went to Sheffield and put in a really good performance. People are sat there with the promotion and relegation on the table. And we've just played Wakefield at home, and regardless whether they've been at Wembley, whether they haven't, we've lost by 2 points. Imagine a playoff series for the fans, and if the £1 million game or whatever you want to brand it was at Wakefield, we know we're travelling numbers.
Well,
I must admit, because we've not had playoffs, I'd be interested to see like who'd go and like how many Widnes would take. But, you know, we've not had a championship playoff game since 2011.
Don't matter whether it ends up being at Batley or Wakefield the first game, if we get there, it'd be really
interesting to see how it pans out, because you know we know Widnes have got one of the best fan bases in the division. So it's like if you're in the place for the first time, you take a big following, you can actually do teams won't be looking forward to playing Widnes, and that's going back to what we were saying about the fans. That's what people want. They want a team to believe in.
Yeah,
and it's like we're getting to that stage now. Won't probably get carried away about the Sheffield game. Widnes have lost the last four games against Sheffield, and they've lost six of the last seven, which is not pretty reading.
Well, I say that they're our bogey team. That definitely confirms that.
So since relegation, Widnes have played Sheffield eight times and only managed to win twice, and both of them were at home as well. So.
It's bizarre, really, because they have a 3G pitch. You think we'd be very comfortable there, but
I thought last season, Sheffield first half was one of the best halves of rugby I've ever seen a team play. They were absolutely flawless. I thought Sheffield first half last week. Well, I think Widnes scored right at the end for the first 38 and a half minutes.
6. I think Ince got an interception, didn't he?
I thought Sheffield were excellent last season, and they know their pitch. They play it well, but Widnes go there. Competing with everyone, they'll do their best, and that's all you can ask. Widnes have got a new signing coming in for that. Lewis Brogan has joined on a 2-week loan from Lee. I think that possibly points to maybe Rodri Lloyd going into the centres.
Maybe
is my two penneth on that.
You think Tom Nisbet maybe miss out and we'll have Fleming on one side, or do you reckon it'll be the other way around?
Possibly. I think Nisbet would miss out. I don't mind Nisbet as a runner. I just worry about him defensively.
I do.
You know, and I think
Jake Mason.
I do worry about him defensively. So I just wonder whether Brogan's been signed to play in the pack and free up Rodri Lloyd to play in the centres and just give Widnes a bit more muscle in the centres against Sheffield.
They're a powerful side, aren't they? There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, but they have been losing this season. They lost to Bradford. They lost to Batley, both away from home though, but. Yeah, it'll be real interesting to see where would this are. They've got two good centres. Sheffield, they've got Chris Wellham, haven't they? And James Glover. I think Ryan Miller's there as well, isn't he? Who's obviously at Widnes.
Ben Jones, Bishop, Matty Dawson, Jones.
So they've got a good. You don't want to be taking any prisoners against that back line. Do you know what I mean? They've got pace, so you don't want to be carrying anyone. So I just wonder whether Alan Coleman's thinking, let's play Rodri Lloyd in the centres, toughen us up a little bit out wide.
Possibly.
You know, and then it brings back, you know, we seen in the squad last week, I think Gregson was in the squad, wasn't he? Langtree. I don't know whether that was a case of they just named them because they're the only players they've got, or whether they could genuinely have played. But yeah, interesting game. What are your thoughts? Sunday at Olympic Legacy Park, 3 o'clock.
I would like to say it would be a Widnes win, but for the reasons that we've just said, I don't think it's going to be straightforward at all. I think if we're to win this game, I think you've got to be talking about one of the performances of the season. It's certainly got to be up there. You know, in a complete different way to how we needed to be up for the Wakefield game. You know, we need to take our chances against Sheffield. But if I was to throw a prediction out there, I'd go Widnes 22, Sheffield 16. I'll be positive.
See, I don't do predictions. One of my mates always used to ask me what score. I used to always say 100-0 just to get out of doing a prediction. That's all from this week's podcast. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Hope you enjoyed it.
do leave a comment, share, like, subscribe, wherever you listen to your podcasts, and jump on the Facebook page, which is Widnes Rugby League Fans. It's Facebook group. We'll try and get the Twitter going as well. If you've got any ideas for the podcast or you want to jump on, drop me a tweet at JDG Sport. I'm just trying to think what we've got planned in the next coming weeks off the top of my head, and I've completely forgot. But there's the sports quiz night that Widnes Vips are hosting. I'll get along to that. There's, I think, the Widnes Vips AGM soon as well, so I'll try and get some bits and bobs from that.
I bought my two tickets for that quiz night today.
I need to. To be honest, I've reserved my tickets. I need to pay, so I'll do that after this call. But yeah, please do like and share the podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.